Open your Bibles, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 9. John is here. You probably saw him, but it's Father's Day, so we're giving him a rest. And he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, so, you know, because it's Father's Day. You can do that kind of thing. While you're finding your way to Nehemiah chapter 9, let's open in a word of prayer. And Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you so much. We thank you that almost 2,000 years ago, you poured out your spirit on all flesh, and the church was born. And here we are almost 2,000 years ago, and I believe that the only reason the church exists is because you revive your people. And so, Lord, as we look at some things that are related to revival today, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts, that you open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts. Speak to us in a fresh way. Move by your Holy Spirit powerfully, we pray. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so, I've been convicted for a while now, since this whole kind of mess started that we've been in, about revival. And in case you haven't noticed, we live in a country that's very divided these days. And that's not just outside. I'm not just talking about in the political arena or all the other upheaval that we're seeing in the world today, but even in the church, we're divided. There's schisms in the body of Christ, and that shouldn't be. And so I believe in the midst of all the turmoil that we're experiencing these days, coronavirus and all the other mess, that God's purpose, I mean, I'm sure he has many purposes, but one of his purposes is to purify the church. John mentioned that last week. We've talked about that. And I believe that all of this stuff that's happening is just a beginning or further birth pangs. And God wants to use that as a wake-up call, a wake-up call for the church. It says in Romans chapter 13 that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep, for your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. It goes on to say, and put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. I'll say that again. Put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. See, we have a tendency to make provision for the flesh. We make provision so that we can continue to do those things that we like, and sometimes we don't even realize we're not even talking to the Lord about those things. And so I want to talk today about revival. And revival isn't something that happens to a town. It's that something that happens to a heart. You know, you think of revival. Revival came to this town or this place or that region. Well, yeah, but it started in a person's heart. Revival happens one heart at a time. I want to read this quote to you from Charles Finney about revival. He said this. He said, "Revival is renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility, or simply put, surrendering all to him." That's a great quote, and I think that really captures what revival is all about. Or you could say it like this: revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. About a month or so ago, I did a short devotion and on Revelation chapter 2, the first of seven letters to the seven churches. The letter to the church in Ephesus is, Jesus says, "I know your works. You know, you're a hardworking church, basically. You hate what I hate, but I have this against you. You've left your first love." You didn't lose your first love. You've left your first love. And he said, so remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first work.